tomorrow at 1 Eastern, and All-Star qualifying at 6 Eastern. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05. Make sure we've got the correct time. Very important to note, we have Swiss watches here in the studio. Actually, they were borrowed from our friends over across the hall at Rob FM, where 90% of the studio is Swiss made. Rob wants everybody to know that. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Poll question for you today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with whether or not you think players should be fined by their league for something that they say on the field of play, whether it be the court or the diamond, whatever. Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway's on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. I promised that we would give everybody an update before we did the segment. So, Alex, I'm going to let you tell everybody in eastern Iowa what my former co-host is doing in East Tennessee. He has a segment that he likes to do on his new show. And what is the segment called?
I believe it is called Would Ya.
And how is it spelled?
W-O-U-L-D-J-A.
And how
with
do we
two quotes around it.
How do we spell our segment?
W-O-U-L-D-J-A.
So he basically took Would Ya. And then he's
borrowed it. I guess he would phrase it
calling. Well, it's
he
not
would
a
say
cup
that he
of
borrowed
sugar.
It.
It's not a cup of sugar from your neighbor. Okay, so Would Ya, which started here, a lot of people don't know this, but the idea of Thirsty Thursday. You hear minor league baseball teams talking about Thirsty Thursday all the time. Is actually trademarked by the Asheville Tourists in Asheville, North Carolina. They were the first team to have a Thirsty Thursday, and they trademarked the name. They allow other minor league teams to use the phrase Thirsty Thursday as long as they don't try to monetize it. So a couple years ago, a team tried to sell Thirsty Thursday t-shirts with their logo on it, and the Asheville Tourists said, uh-uh. Not going to happen.
How do they not? Isn't everybody that does a Thirsty Thursday monetizing?
I'm talking about
Thursday,
like merchandise.
Oh, merchandise. Okay.
So, shall we grant him usage rights as long as he doesn't monetize it? What if he sells a sponsor to it?
If he sells t-shirts, we're going to send our legal department down
what
to
if
Knoxville.
What if his radio station does something that this station's never done and sells a sponsor for Would Ya? Do I then have a right to compensation?
Yes, you deserve a right to that cut.
Jeff Downing, welcome into the studio. Jeff is not a candidate, by the way, to be our actual producer, our everyday producer. We've had a couple people ask about you, Jeff. I just wanted to build your ego up and let you know that the listeners are big fans, but you're going to continue to be a part-timer here with us moving forward once we get an actual producer on staff. You've got the list in front of you.
I do.
And we still don't have an intro here for Would Ya, so we're just going to roll with it. That's
our intro to
about
Would Ya.
It's about as close.
Is it closing time or what?
It reminds me of hour
close at 5 at 6.
Reminds me of hour number 3 from yesterday's program, but that's neither here nor there. Jeff, I'll let you throw the first one my way.
Todd, yep, let's start with you. Number 1, Would Ya. How would you describe the NCAA's new rule proposals for football?
I would describe them as welcome, and I think it's been interesting to see the reaction across the board. We're talking about the addition of an early signing period. We're talking about adding a 10th coach. I think the NCAA is trying to do some really forward-thinking stuff here, but the ACC coaches see things differently. And Mark Richt, the former Georgia coach who's now at Miami, said that he believes these changes are quote-unquote catastrophic for college football. He does not like the idea of an early signing period, and he basically says that coaches are going to be all over the place. They're not going to have enough time. The idea of having official visits in April, May, and June, along with September, October, November, December, January, quote, 8 months a year you have visits, question mark. It makes no sense to anyone in our league, I can promise you that. I'm a big fan of these. Kirk Ferentz is a big fan, and many of the athletic directors that got together in Rosemont, Illinois earlier in the week, Big Ten ADs like this. It's all a matter of perspective on where you're coming from. If you're a Northern Conference school like the Big Ten, these benefit you. If you're an ACC school or an SEC school, you have something to lose here with these early offers.
You have a lot to lose if you're one of these schools, the blue blood schools in college football, because an offer from Alabama, an offer from Clemson, an offer from Miami, a lot of those schools with the prowess of being a top-level program in college football can sit back in recruiting and wait for Iowa and wait for Michigan State and wait for Missouri and all these northern schools who are mid-level or maybe slightly above average FBS programs to offer, and then they'll swoop in and take those players at the last second. And I hear a lot of people talking, a lot of Iowa fans especially, saying, well, Iowa gets a lot of those diamonds in the rough, and if you have an early signing period, maybe they wouldn't get as many of those guys. And my response to that is, I really don't see that as a bad thing. I think that what Kirk Ferentz and his staff do with some of these prospects who everyone overlooked is great, but I think he could do just as well with some prospects that are highly rated, that do have the speed, the strength, the height, the weight. If you bring those type of prospects into mid-level programs or slightly above average programs, you're going to get a lot more parity in college football, which is why the blue bloods like Ohio State, you saw their athletic director Gene Smith come out and say, yeah, we don't like the early signing period. I wonder why. It's the same thing with Alabama and Nick Saban saying they don't like the early signing period. You know what else they didn't like? They didn't like satellite camps. Almost the same effect as an early signing period when it comes to recruiting. It's great for college football, and the mid-level program should rejoice because now, and I don't mean to bring his name up because a lot of Iowa fans don't want to hear this name, but Eno Benjamin, a prospect like that where you have him committed, can sign earlier if he chooses to do so. He doesn't have to wait until February of his senior year. I love it. Absolutely love it. And I know we're not doing Love It or Leave It, but I still love it.
Yeah, you confused me there for a second. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go down.
Let's go to number two. Todd, let's go back to you once again. Number two, would you keep Ian Happ in the big leagues if you were the Chicago Cubs?
I've actually changed my opinion on this in the last 24 hours. I was all for sending him back to Des Moines and letting him get everyday at-bats, and then I watched him again today. And I continue to be impressed by him, and I think he is essentially at this point forcing the hand of Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and Joe Maddon. And I know Hoyer and Maddon have both said that he's making it very difficult to send him back to the minor leagues. The offense has been stagnant with the exception of the last three games against Cincinnati. They look like they're rolling a little bit now that they've got some home cooking and a more favorable schedule on their side. But Happ seems to be doing some very special things in that lineup. And not only that, but he's another one of these versatile guys who can play in the infield. I think he was a second baseman at Cincinnati when they drafted him in 2015, ninth overall. He can play all over the outfield. They even had him in center field for a little bit the other night. This is Joe Maddon's type of player, and unless he goes into a big-time cold spell, I think not only do you keep him in the majors, but you keep him in the lineup every day. Now, that's going to mean fewer at-bats for someone along the way, whether it's Jason Hayward when he comes back from his rehab appearance, whether it's the platoon of John Jay and Albert Elmora in center field, or whether it's even Javier Baez or Ben Zobrist. Somebody is going to lose playing time if Happ remains in the major leagues. But at this point, I think you keep him up there and you figure out a way to make it work. The Cubs will, but that bat is staying in the lineup if I'm Joe Maddon.
I think at this point, you keep getting him in as many at-bats as he earns. And if things start to drop off, I know there is a lot of wisdom out there saying that you don't want to send a player down as soon as they start to struggle, but you're looking big picture here. This is a guy who is in your plans maybe 2-3 years down the line. You want to get him as many at-bats as possible. So if there is still room for him to get playing time, if there is still room for him to get at-bats, assuming that some of these other guys, like the platoon and center fielder, maybe Jason Hayward, aren't swinging a great bat. Jason Hayward is on the DL right now, or is injured right now, so it's all a moot point. But once those guys come back, then maybe, especially if Happ starts struggling a little bit, the Major League pitchers adjust to him a little bit, then you get him back down to Iowa to get more at-bats. It's kind of a fluid situation right now, and Happ is obviously making this decision a little bit more difficult for the Chicago Cubs. But if you're asking me if he gets sent down in the next two to three months, I say that he does eventually.
Number three, Alex, let's go to you first, to the NBA. Would you entertain trading the number one overall pick if you were the Boston Celtics?
Absolutely. No question about it. We talked to Adi Joseph yesterday. Isaiah Thomas is coming up on a big contract next year. So not this next year, but the year following. You have to keep this core nucleus together in order for this to become a championship team. And to do that, they need to lock up Isaiah Thomas. But I still think that the window is not quite as open as a lot of people think, because you have to factor in LeBron James in all of this. The reason that we were talking about the Boston Celtics the other night and how great they're going to be in the future and not talking about them right now is because we kind of, at least I did, expect them to possibly get swept in this series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They just don't have what it takes right now to contend with LeBron. I think that this could be a franchise that kind of sets the wheels in motion once LeBron starts getting old and the Eastern Conference gets a little bit more wide open. And the question becomes, do you build around Markelle Fultz out of Washington, who probably wouldn't be ready to play a big-time role? Do you build around a guy like Jaylen Brown, who played a little bit last night for the Celtics, the number three overall pick out of Cal last year, played a nice role defensively, but still not a big impact player, probably a year, maybe 2 years from being an impact player and reaching somewhat of his full potential? Or do you trade the number one overall pick this year and acquire a guy like Paul George from the Indiana Pacers? Acquire a guy like Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls and put another scorer, another playmaker around Isaiah Thomas? If one of those options comes up and the Bulls are willing to listen to get the number one pick and maybe a guy like Avery Bradley or Marcus Smart or Jay Crowder along with the number one pick, because I don't think you could trade for a Jimmy Butler or Paul George straight up, then you entertain that option. So I think the Celtics are sitting pretty, not only with the number one pick, but the ability to shop that number one pick.
Would I entertain it? Absolutely. Would I necessarily trade it? Maybe not. But as you said, you can turn an asset that may or may not help you as quickly as an established veteran would into said established veteran. And you've got the Celtics, who sound like they're going to be players on the free agent market this offseason. Look, they may not have deserved to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, but at the end of the day, they're one of the last four teams standing. They've got the number one pick. They're in a very special place with regards to NBA history from that standpoint. And if you can take that and you can turn it around and trade it to another team and get an established player, and then I know Gordon Hayward has been linked to them, which is a total Boston move. Go get the white guy. That's a Celtics move.
Get the guy that Brad Stevens coached.
Exactly. He's got ties to him, having Bennett Butler as well. But go out, make some splashes with free agency, and then that first round draft pick, the number one overall selection, is the ultimate wild card, in my opinion. And if I'm Boston, I'm looking, do I want to use it on a player that may or may not help me right away and trust what I've got and what I'm bringing in via free agency? Or do I go and get a sure thing or as close to a sure thing as possible? I know the Bulls and Jimmy Butler have been bandied about, and that's another story for another time. But if I'm Danny Ainge, I like the fact that I've been able to accumulate these assets, that trade of Garnett and Pierce to the Nets has been a complete disaster for Brooklyn and to the Celtics' benefit.
Let's go to number four. Todd, would you pay money to watch people play flag football?
I don't know if you have seen this or not. I had to do a double take, Alex. I thought maybe this was an Onion article, but Michael Vick is going to play in a professional flag football league.
There are professional flag football leagues that the players get paid for?
That's according to the story that I read earlier today. I don't know whether this is a new endeavor. Justin Forsett, the former Baltimore running back, is also said to be playing in the American Flag Football League. They're going to play, it sounds like an exhibition or a trial game is what they're calling it, next month in San Jose. This is actually a Darren Rovell story, go figure. But the league is currently planning on an 8-team season for sometime in 2018. Hell no, I would not pay to watch somebody play flag football, not even washed-up former NFL players.
If you get good enough washed-up former NFL players like Mike Vick or Justin Forsett or maybe a Ray Lewis, does it not turn into a celebrity softball game? That type of endeavor where you're not raising money for a good cause, but if they get enough former NFL players who made a name for themselves in the NFL, and this is just sort of a way for them to play slow pitch softball, if you will, after they're done with their NFL career, I'd pay $5 or so to go see them. I'm not paying 25 or 30, but I'll throw out there a $5 or $10 bill.
There aren't a whole lot of details. The founder of the league says that things such as player salaries are still being worked out.
Todd, you know how much of an autograph hound I used to be. I'd go out there and get Ray Lewis's autograph, pay $5 to do that, instead of going on Steiner Sports and paying however much that would cost.
Flag football. Nah.
Let's go to number five. Alex, would you rather have one small taco pizza or one large taco?
Ooh.
One small taco pizza.
One small, like, individual-sized taco pizza.
Or one large taco.
Or one grande taco.
There's very little more delicious to me than the taco pizza, which is why I just could not believe, and BJ, to each their own, I get it, but I just don't understand how people don't like taco pizza. Throw a little bit of sour cream on top of it, maybe a little salsa, some spicy Tabasco hot sauce, and that is my meal of choice. And if you're talking, I remember one of the questions on Woodja, maybe it was on Woodja, or maybe it wasn't, but what would your last meal be? That would be in my top five running to be my last meal. Taco pizza. There is very little that would be ahead of that. Maybe a nice steak or a filet or something like that, but taco pizza is the best kind of pizza out there. 100%. Give me the small taco pizza over the large taco.
I'm going to go with the small taco pizza here as well. If you missed yesterday's program, you probably have no idea what we're talking about right now. But we came guns blazing out of the gate, putting a regular listener on blast, BJ and Marion, who tweeted that taco pizza essentially was garbage. And about 75-80% of the people who answered my Twitter poll yesterday during the show said that they gave taco pizza a big thumbs up. Mark Dukes actually the power of this program, Mark Dukes ate pizza last night because we talked about it. I'm going to go
with us pizza joints.
I'm going to go with the small taco pizza over the large taco. Beside a large taco, then you're into burrito territory. And then that's not what we're talking about here. So give me the small taco pizza over the large, single large taco any day of the week, except for maybe Cinco de Mayo. Then maybe I would eat the taco just because of what day it was.
Is that all we have for Woodja?
That's all we have for Woodja, although I would ask, would you guys expect some sort of retribution on my part toward my former co-host for stealing the segment and taking it with him and not at least changing the name?
I would expect him to...
Coming up on Would You Rather.
Would you rather? Will ya?
Will ya?
Yeah, I would expect
Should I
it.
Get the legal team of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe on line one and send a cease and desist order?
We'll get together the KGYM legal team. Coon Investigation will get on the case.
Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Alex, that's from the Johnny Carson show.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that.
No, didn't.
I was hoping
actually,
Jeff would get that reference.
I was just sort of going to let that one slide.
Yeah, tonight's show.
6:26. When we come back, we'll get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, including a look at how the Iowa baseball team is faring tonight in Game 1 of its 3-game series at Illinois. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn back after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
May is Bicycle Safety Month. You can help raise awareness in your community by reminding motorists and bicyclists to share the road. Together, we can help make riding a bicycle or motorcycle a safer and friendlier means of transportation and recreation. The best way to avoid collisions is to be prepared and be aware of other vehicles around you. Know and obey Iowa's traffic laws. A mutual respect between motorists and bicyclists will enhance safety for all road users. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
It's 6:27. Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM with Alex Kuhn and our associate producer, Jeff Downing. Now back on the other side of the glass where we will put him to work, I promise. In the next 10 minutes, we will play Race to Win for the perhaps final time. Definitely for the final time today, perhaps for the final time this year, although I can't foresee a reason why the gym class would play twice tomorrow, but we do have 3 prizes remaining and 3 opportunities for you to play and hopefully win. And your next chance, as we just said, comes up in the next couple minutes.
Well, we definitely will have a spot tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And even if it's squares number 1 and 2 and we have to ceremoniously bring the person on the air and let them pick the only 2 squares, which is what we've done in the past. There are no gimme putts.
Hypothetically, when that happens, can we just give them the numbers not to choose so they have to keep, they have to figure out which one? You don't want to be cruel to people.
Going through the motions and get it done with. I am having a really hard time believing that the Minnesota Twins tickets are still out there because people know what the numbers are. And I would think that these would be snapped up a long time ago. And yet they're still out there. We've got Twins tickets. We've got a $50 certificate for car washes to Right Wash. And we've got the $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. If you've won with us in the last 30 days, unfortunately, you're not going to be eligible. And speaking of winning, wonder if the Iowa baseball team is doing that in Champaign. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. They are in the top of the second in Champaign, and they are tied at 1 apiece Iowa playing its final three Big Ten games, the first of three today against the Fighting Illini. Top of the second inning, Robert Nystrom goes deep to right field to tie the game, his sixth of the season. They have changed the schedule a little bit this weekend. Iowa and Illinois will play a doubleheader tomorrow, beginning at 2 o'clock rather than single games on Friday and Saturday. Iowa announced late yesterday that sophomore Cordell Pemsel will miss 8 weeks of basketball activity this summer after he underwent sports hernia surgery. Pemsel's expected to be healthy for the team's overseas trip in August. He likely will not participate in the primetime league, however. Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell confirmed on Wednesday that safety Mike Johnson's no longer part of the Cyclone football program. He was suspended indefinitely for domestic assault in February. He's since pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct. And the Cedar Rapids Colonels play the first of four road games at Wisconsin tonight. 6:35 is the scheduled first pitch. The Colonels are now in first place in the Midwest League's Western Division standings after yesterday's 7-4 win over the Peoria Chiefs at 23-16. The Colonels have a one-game lead on the Kane County Cougars. I mentioned early on in hour number one that I had a story about the hypocrisy of Major League Baseball, and this irks me. It sticks in my craw, if you will. It really grinds my gears.
You beat me right to it. I was going to ask you if it grinded your gears.
The punch from Family Guy. But you may have noticed that Major League Baseball made a huge deal over the weekend about slathering its players in pink from head to toe. Special uniforms, special hats, bats, batting gloves, socks, cleats, you name it. And this pink gear was being worn in conjunction with Mother's Day, and it was going to be auctioned off. A lot of it gets auctioned off for charity, and I think the Susan G. Komen Foundation gets the proceeds or the majority of the proceeds. And I have such a major issue with leagues like MLB washing themselves in either a color or the flag and doing it solely to use it as a marketing ploy and to make a buck. And here's my issue. Brad Miller of the Tampa Bay Rays was one of the many players who was using a pink bat over the weekend. And of course, over the weekend, Major League Baseball loved the color pink. Mother's Day, cancer research, all of this good stuff. Well, Miller has decided that even though he was 1-for-11 using the bat during the series that Tampa Bay had with the Boston Red Sox, that he was going to continue using the bat this week in gameplay. And Major League Baseball, after he went 3-for-5 Monday night using the bat, has threatened to fine him if he continues to use the bat. He got an email from Major League Baseball earlier in the week telling him to stop using the bat.
Why? Are they trying to auction it off? Are they They had 3 days where they are 2 days where they were really using the pink stuff.
They have rules about what bats can and cannot look like, and they tend to make exceptions on these Mother's Day and Father's Day promotions.
But are they not the ones giving them the bats on these Mother's Day and Father's Day promotions?
Well, here's where I stand on this. Why is it a bad thing? Because when he's using the pink bat, I'm still thinking of breast cancer research and raising awareness. And it at least calls to mind sort of a good thing in my part, from my point of view. And they want him to stop using the bats. My problem here is the hypocrisy. Because why is it okay over the weekend when you're going to be auctioning all of this stuff off and you look the other way about the rules, and then the guy wants to continue using the bat because he's broken it in and he's comfortable using it, and you're going to fine him if he uses the bat that essentially promotes the good cause that you yourself washed the entire game in over the weekend? Everything was pink. Even the umpires were wearing pink wristbands.
I have no idea. I just don't understand. And this is not a Major League Baseball only issue. I mean, this happens in football as well.
Football, it's the same thing. It's terrible in football. Craig Hayward's son wanted to wear the eye black that honored his father who passed away from cancer, and the NFL said they were going to fine him.
Their logic here, which I think is completely flawed, is you brought up the word promotional. This was a promotional deal to promote breast cancer awareness, but it's only okay when they're promoting something. If somebody wants to, and then when it's not on their watch, it's not okay. They basically don't want somebody promoting A, their own cause, and A, or B, a cause that many people would find offensive. So they've just decided, let's get rid of everything.
Right. Rather than treating things on a case-by-case basis.
This would be a very...
I'm sorry, you want to wear eye black for what cause? Well, my father died of prostate cancer. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, you want to wear eye black for what cause? I want to support ISIS. Okay, no. One yes, one no. But rather than that, they just think automatically, well, if we let a player do this, this is the ultimate give a mouse a cookie and he'll ask for a glass of milk, except none of the players are asking for glasses of milk. They just want the cookie being individual expression.
There is a big difference between D'Angelo Williams wearing pink in his hair to promote breast cancer awareness because his mom died of breast cancer, and Terrell Pryor wearing eye black that says free Mike Vick. There's a huge difference there. And within these leagues, they don't see it as a big difference. They just rather get rid of all of it, and I just don't understand that.
Also, an end of rant here before we get ready to play Race to Win and step aside and take a break. All cancer sucks, and it bothers me to no end that you have to single out a type of cancer. Just cancer sucks, period. End of story. Raise the money. Give it to cancer research. Why are we valuing one body part over another? It just, that has always, always stuck in my craw. I don't understand why we worry about one type of cancer more than another. Just other than the fact that it's easy to embrace certain types of cancer more than others, which is just completely screwed up in my mind.
I don't understand that either.
Oh, it's not like you meet somebody and you go, oh, my friend has cancer, but it's okay. It's just liver cancer. It's not breast cancer. Cancer's cancer, and it sucks. And most of us have known somebody that's either battling it or has battled it, and a lot of people wind up losing that battle. And I don't know. There's just something about it that doesn't sit well with me. We've got something that we need to do here to change the tenor of the
Race
program.
To win.
Three great prizes left on the board, including tickets to see the first place Minnesota Twins. 366-1600. Only six squares remain unmatched. Your odds are pretty good, especially if you've been playing along at home. We'll take caller number six right now to 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our contestant is when we return after this. You're listening to the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch to Pennzoil at a Jiffy Lube near you.
With Advance Auto Parts in-store pickup service, you can buy any part online and pick it up in-store in just 30 minutes. It's this fast. Buy your parts online and pick it up in-store in just 30 minutes. No, faster. Buy your parts online and pick it up in 30 minutes. Buy parts online and pick it up in 30 minutes. Buy parts online and pick it up in 30 minutes. Nailed it. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road. Visit AdvanceAutoParts.com for more details.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010. 1-800-758-2010.
20 minutes to go before we hit 7 o'clock tonight in ESPN programming. The Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing here on our 3 KGYM frequencies. And as promised, time to play Race to Win, down to 3 prizes remaining on the board. We've got Minnesota Twins tickets. We've got the $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. And we've got $50 worth of car washes from Right Wash, I suppose, depending on how often you washed your car and at what price level you washed your car. That would almost get you probably 7 or 8 months worth of car washes if you spaced it out. Creed in Coralville is our contestant tonight, and I'm going to assume that you've been following along. Would I be correct in that assumption?
I have followed most evenings, yes.
Okay. Alex, give him the 6 numbers that are left for him to choose from.
We've got 5, 14, 15, 16, 21, and 22.
Where would you like to start, Creed?
Well, let me start with 22.
All right. What is behind door number 22?
$30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City.
The Carl and Ernie's gift certificate, $30. Can you find the match for that?
I think that one is 14.
What is behind door number 14?
$30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City.
All right, Creed, congratulations. Gets a little bit easier when you get down to a handful of prizes, but we'll put you on hold. Jeff Downing, our producer tonight, is going to get you information on how you can get those gift certificates in your hands. So the $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub off the board. Probably convenient for Creed living in Coralville. That means tomorrow someone's going to walk away with tickets to see the Minnesota Twins, and somebody's going to walk away with $50 in car washes from Right Wash here in Cedar Rapids. What is wrong with the Twins tickets?
Do you know who the Twins are playing? I had this in front of me, and I'll blame this on myself, but it is, regardless of who they're playing, it's the first place Minnesota Twins. That's the second time I've said that today, if Mark Dukes is counting at home.
I'm constantly told that they're as popular, if not more so, in this area than certain other teams. And I'm stunned. I would take these tickets.
I've never been to a Twins game, and it is on my list of things to do.
It's fantastic. Target Field is wonderful. You're in downtown Minneapolis, and the food there is really good as far as ballpark food goes. They've got this carving station with a side of beef, and they will carve it right on to the roll and then put a little horseradish on there. And you'd think that you're in a 5-star dining facility rather than at a ballpark. Good stuff.
You really paint a food picture. Now I want to
If there's one thing that I know anything about, it's food. And I've been up there a couple times. My wife and I have been up there for a game, and went up there with a friend one time who had some really great tickets fall into his lap. This was, I think, 2010, the first year that the ballpark opened. And so tickets were really hard to come by. We had 4 of them. There was only 2 of us. So we turned around and we scalped the other 2, and then we had some beer money for the remainder of the night. Wound up having a really good time. By the way, don't scalp these tickets if you win these. I don't know the specific date on the Twins game, but they're tickets to see the Twins, who lost today to the Colorado Rockies. Cubs won. They've won three in a row. That's neither here nor there. I have a feeling the Cubs will come up tomorrow at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City because Sean was there at Busch Stadium last week for the three-game series during which the Cardinals took two of three from the Cubs. Cardinals have had their hands full the last couple nights with the Red
they
Sox,
have.
Though.
I caught the 12th inning of that game, and I just I watched one inning of it and fell asleep right in the middle of that inning. I can't stay up that late anymore. The Red Sox won.
Yeah, I knew that. I was setting you up. Well, you know, hey, you got to take it where you can find it. It's been a good series. I watched the first game the other night. I hear people complained about David Ross talking too much about Dancing with the Stars and not enough about the actual baseball game. But wouldn't know because I believe it was blacked out.
David Ross was on last night?
Yes.
Okay, it was blacked out, so I watched
it.
On
the ESPN
broadcast.
Okay,
I was going to say I watched it. Dan McLaughlin on FSN.
FSN. I got nothing right now, by the way, because the TV at home no longer works after. It wasn't really related to the storm yesterday, but I think the storm may have complicated things. And so there is a service call in, and they're going to come on Sunday. That was the earliest day that they could arrive.
So you haven't seen the season finale of Brockmire yet?
No, I did. It worked last night, and I was able to watch things that I DVR'd, which Brockmire is one of them. We were only having problems with the local channels. And then I tried to reset the box. And when I did that, then everything went to hell. And now I'm not getting any reception from the satellite dish. And so now I've got to pay $99 to have somebody come out and fix my problem. And I have to wait until Sunday for it. And I don't get any sort of credit on my bill for that. I said, I got to wait until Sunday, and you've jacked up the bill three or four times since I've been a subscriber in the last 3 years. You got nothing for me? So here's what I did. I made the appointment for Sunday, and then I told the very nice woman in customer service that if I got another provider before Sunday, that I would at least give them the courtesy of calling and canceling the appointment. And
how'd
even,
she respond to
even
that?
Even that didn't draw me any sort of, not that I'm one of these people that's getting on an airplane with my cell phone camera running, hoping that I get dragged off like a 10-pound sack of potatoes and wind up owning 20% of the airline. I'm not one of those people, but I thought maybe for the amount of money that I spend with said company, because I get MLB extra innings package every year and I've had Sunday ticket and those things are expensive. I mean, and I've got, what do they call it? The platinum package or whatever with all of the channels, which I never watch. I got all these movie channels. I don't watch them, but I pay for them. Throw me a bone if I'm going to be without. Their response was, well, if you have a phone or a tablet, you can still watch programming through the phone or the tablet. Gee.
Yeah, that's.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I got my 60, 70 inch TV, whatever it is at home, high definition. And then you're going to tell me to watch on a little 12-inch tablet or whatever it is. It's not the same thing.
If it's
first world problems, I know.
If it's the same provider I'm thinking of and the same one that I have, I just wanted to add one channel, and that was CBS Sports Network because I saw the schedule for Memphis football last year, realized I didn't have it, and there were going to be four games on that channel. I had to pay 30 extra bucks per month. And I got like 30 or 40 extra channels that I don't watch. And I'm still paying it. That's fine. But yes, first world problem.
The text line would love a little appreciation for the Milwaukee Brewers if we're talking about the National League Central.
First place Milwaukee
Brewers. They're in
Brewers.
First place. They beat the Padres today 4-2. And they're doing it with a lot of guys that most baseball fans probably couldn't name. But I know Brewers fans can name them, and if you're a fan of a NL Central team not named the Milwaukee Brewers, you're learning the names of some of these guys, and they've got more coming in the minor leagues, guys like Lewis Brinson and maybe Josh Hader if he can get his numbers together and start throwing strikes. The Brewers in first place in the National League Central. The same caveat that I've applied all season long. It's May 18th. Many things can change, but they've been fun to watch. One team that hasn't really been fun to watch, although they did win today, Pittsburgh, has really been struggling. They beat the Nationals 10-4. And I know because I got to watch it on 12 screens at lunch today. All I wanted to watch was the Cubs. Can you put the Cubs game on? Yeah, no problem. Even gave them the channel. And they switched 12 of the TVs to the Nats and the Pirates.
Now, you said it's May 18th, and we shouldn't make any preconceived notions about what's going on right now. But is it fair to say that the San Francisco Giants officially stink?
I'm worried about Bruce Bochy, whom I've always liked. I think he's a really good manager. And plus, he's got like a size 8 head, which I've always found fascinating. But I'm starting to think that Bruce Bochy might be in a little bit of trouble there in San Francisco. And it all goes back to their ace pitcher being an idiot and suffering the dirt bike accident. I think that's really what helped precipitate this downward spiral in the NL West.
Now, you said in trouble. In terms of what? His job?
Yeah, look.
They're going to fire him?
What have you done for me lately?
They won three titles.
There were Blackhawks fans talking about firing Joel Quenneville this offseason.
That's Looney Town.
Right, and Looney Town exists with every fan base.
But does it exist in the San Francisco Giants front office?
Would you trade Mike Matheny for Bochy straight up?
Absolutely. Okay. And I'm not a Mike Matheny hater either, but yes, I would. Okay.
Yeah, I think Bochy's a really good manager. But somebody's got to pay the price. There's probably a ball boy or somebody they could fire. That's the way the things usually
sometimes
happen.
In baseball, the windows close and guys get old and people get injured and players leave. That does happen. And maybe it's not the manager's fault, especially the manager who won three championships with the same team.
We got a little breaking news regarding friend of the program, Jake Adams. Guess what he possibly could have done today.
Hit for the cycle.
No, well, they're still playing. Oh. They just started at 6 o'clock tonight.
He wears
uniform number 23, and he's one home run away from reaching that number because he hit number 22 a couple minutes ago, and they went back-to-back, he and Robert Nystrom. Hawkeyes are in the driver's seat. We'll give you a score update on our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update when we return after this. The final minutes of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries. Craig, can I help you?
Hey, Craig. I need an oil change. I was wondering if you had any deals.
Yes, we have 5 quarts of Castrol Edge with a K&N filter for $22.99.
That's a good deal. Castrol Edge is good stuff, right?
Absolutely. Helps the performance of hardworking engines.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, you can't get better protection.
Wow, even better.
Now at Advance Auto, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge or high-mileage full synthetic and a K&N oil filter for just $22.99 after mail-in rebate. See store for details, also at participating CarQuest stores.
There are two things every parent wants when their child goes to college: for their child to do well and a way to afford it. Now, with Discover Student Loans, parents can have the best of both worlds. Not only do our loans cover up to 100% of school-certified costs with zero fees, but we'll give them a cash reward for each new student loan if they earn at least a 3.0 GPA or equivalent. That means every A in history or B in math could help them earn a cash reward for good grades. Just one of the many ways we treat you like you'd treat you. Apply now in 15 minutes or less at discoverstudentloans.com. Limitations apply.
It's 6:53, the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM. Back to put a wrap on things. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we're going to be in Iowa City at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. 1978 Heisman Trophy winner Billy Sims set to join us on the program, as well as Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. We'll have Love It or Leave It, and we'll have 3 hours for you to join us and imbibe in some happy hour specials, which actually begin at 3 o'clock if you want to pregame with the Golden Tee guys at Coach's Corner.
They're always a fun time.
749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Happy hour does start at 3 o'clock. $2.50 domestic bottles and $2 domestic pints. Let's get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. As we mentioned, Iowa baseball in action today. Game one of that three-game series, the final Big Ten action of the regular season. And after Jake Adams and Robert Nystrom homered back-to-back, the Hawkeyes in the top of the third inning have a 4-3 lead on the Fighting Illini. They will play a doubleheader tomorrow at Lou Boudreaux Field in Champaign. The first game of the doubleheader is set to start at 2 o'clock. Iowa announced late Wednesday sophomore Cordell Pemsel will miss 8 weeks of basketball activities this summer after he underwent sports hernia surgery this week. Pemsel's expected to be healthy for the team's overseas trip in August, but likely won't be for primetime league play this summer. Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell confirmed yesterday on the Cyclone tailgate tour that safety Mike Johnson's no longer with the team. Johnson was suspended in February after allegations of a domestic assault. He wound up pleading guilty to disorderly conduct. The Cedar Rapids Colonels are on the road tonight for the next four games. They'll be taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers in Appleton, Wisconsin. The Colonels are in first place after winning 3 of 4 from Peoria. They're 23-16. And UNI softball pitcher Alyssa Buchanan named first team All-Central region today. She was 14-2 with a 1.43 ERA during the regular season. What did we learn today, if anything, on this program? We learned that Steve Prohm is a good guy.
Yes.
Who honors his commitments.
And he was actually apologetic for missing our phone call.
We learned that my former co-host has taken liberties with segments from this program and this station and is using them and calling them the same thing.
And especially one that you came up with.
Would you, again, I feel even though as I sort of disowned it, it was still flesh and blood to me. And there will be repercussions. I'm not sure what those repercussions will be, but I'm meeting with my legal team.
Are you going to meet with them with a legal pad Which and a bottle just, of Crown?
Just a sock puppet.
Oh,
and
no, that's his thing? Oh,
sock
okay.
puppet and a bag of caramel popcorn at home tonight. That's basically a sad Thursday evening. That's my legal team. Coming up tomorrow, we mentioned Billy Sims, Jack Dom, Love It or Leave It. We'll have some NBA action. Nothing on tap tonight. There are no games, so we'll go straight to ESPN programming. And other than that, it's going to about put the finishing touches. We've got two more prizes on Race to Win. They'll play one time on the gym class and at least one time with us tomorrow. Plus, we'll find out who our grand prize winner is from Fairfax State Savings Bank. All that and more coming up on tomorrow's show.
It's time for some straight talk. You love your phone, right, Greeny?
Oh, yeah. I'm always streaming basketball games on it.
But I bet you don't love that.